Lecture 29. War resumes. The Athenian disaster in Sicily.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. At the end of our last lecture, we asked the question how long the Peace of Nicias, which ended the Archidamian War, would last. The answer is not long. In this lecture, we're going to touch on the renewal of hostilities in the Peloponnesian War, and then we're going to turn to a new theater of war far away from the Greek mainland, and that's Sicily. This geographical shift should, and indeed does, strike us as surprising. And in focusing on the Athenian-Sicilian expedition, we'll discuss how it came about, what happened during it, and how it affected the Athenian war effort. The Peace of Nicias was really only an interruption in the whole sequence of events of the Peloponnesian War. That's why we agree with Thucydides that we're not dealing with two separate wars, Peloponnesian War Minor, Peloponnesian War Major, but that we're dealing with just the one that was interrupted by a couple of years of a hiatus in hostilities. It was an ominous sign that some Peloponnesian states were unhappy with the terms of the Peace of Nicias, and that Corinth, Megara, and Boeotia didn't sign it. Moreover, Sparta didn't return Amphipolis to Athens, nor did Athens return Pylos to Sparta, both of which each side was supposed to do under the terms of the peace. In Athens, a war faction grew to dominance led by Alcibiades. And it was this war faction that countered Nicias' passive group. Alcibiades is one of the more colourful characters in the Peloponnesian War, indeed in the 5th century. He was an aristocrat, he had a family connection to Pericles even. He was tremendously wealthy. At one time he entered multiple teams in the Olympic chariot race event, and you had to be fabulously wealthy to do that sort of thing. He was also quite young, and he lived an ostentatious party lifestyle. He'd be a lot like the Hollywood teens and those in their 20s that we hear about all the time in the media. Too much money, far too little brains, and no responsibility. Alcibiades was a strategos in 420, and you'd think that because of his aristocratic background, that Thucydides would give him a good press. But the reverse is the case. As I mentioned in a previous lecture, Alcibiades was eager to win military glory for himself. Although an aristocrat, Thucydides sees him as no different from the other demagogues, because Alcibiades was pursuing a policy that was in his own best interests, not the well-being of Athens. In Alcibiades' case, as I said, he was after military glory. And this was clearly something he could never achieve while Athens wasn't at war with someone. Obviously, Alcibiades and Nicias were headed for a showdown at some stage. And we might even expect one of them to have been ostracized. We remember how Cimon had got rid of his rival Themistocles, for example. But while there was an ostracism in 418, for some reason, neither of these men, that's neither Alcibiades or Nicias, was ostracized. Instead, that honor, to call it that, fell on a rising demagogue called Hyperbolus, who was by trade a lamp maker. Perhaps the groups attached to Alcibiades and Nicias couldn't get enough ostraca with the other person's name on them prepared in time. Perhaps the people simply couldn't choose between the two. Both Alcibiades and Nicias continued to advise the assembly, and it was the oratory of Alcibiades that was winning out. Incidentally, the ostracism of Hyperbolus in 418 was the last time that the Athenians held an ostracism.